Praise the Lord. Well, I wanted to talk about making things happen today. Make things happen. I want to remind you to write something down. Do you have something to write with? If there's a thought, write it down and go pray about it. It's important to be intentional about learning. And when God speaks to you through the word or through worship, write it down and pray about it. Don't just come to church and leave and that's it. Pray about things that God reveals to you. And that's important in your life. So people say that when you graduate from high school, you put yourself in a better position in life, right? That's what everybody says. Graduate from high school or graduate from college so you can put yourself in a better position in life. And that's true for the most part. It is true. However, at some point after you graduate, you have to make a move. You got to do something, right? You can't graduate and stay home and say, God, I'm going to wait for you right here. I'm going to wait because I'm still getting fed, breakfast, lunch, dinner. So I'm going to wait right here until you move. At some point, you got to do something, right? There's got to be a plan of action, right? You got to make things happen. Amen? So I graduated from college. And I waited and I applied and I applied and I applied. And I would get an interview and they would interview me and they would tell me how much experience you have. I was a math tutor. They're like, you don't have any experience in work? No. Okay. Next. Right? Nothing was happening, but I was trying. And one day I just decided I need to go be a cook anywhere. I need to do something in the business world. So I went to Dairy Queen interview thinking, I'll be a cook if you need me to be a cook. I don't really care right now. I just need a paycheck. Amen? You all remember those days, right? And so I went in there thinking, I'll be a cook. Okay, I'm good. I just need a paycheck. And I came out. They offered me assistant director at Dairy Queen. And after a year of 6 months, they promoted me to manager. And then 6 months later, I started working at UTRGV or UTPA. And then many, many years later, I got promoted. And now I'm ready to leave. Retire time. Getting really close, but in the Lord's timing, God's perfect timing, we'll be full-time in ministry and we're going to do some amazing things. I really believe in this community. God's setting the foundation right now. But you got to make things happen. You can't just wait. You got to make things happen. And that's the title of this sermon. You have to make things happen. You can't just graduate and stay at home and wait for something to happen. You have to act. You have to move, right? In the case of you high school graduates, you got to start studying like you haven't studied before, right? It's different, right? You don't get away with the high school teacher saying, oh, you can make it up. Oh, you can. Nope. You got to now work and study and be intentional and be adults, responsible. You got to make it happen. Because I know these girls, they don't want to graduate just enough like a 2.0. They all want to get 4.0s, right? That's what. They're high achievers. And that's not going to happen by doing what you're doing. Right? Something's got to change. The work ethic's got to change. You got to make it happen. You got to make it happen. You got to do it. You got to step out of the boat. You got to do something. And that's the title of today's sermon. Make things happen. When you're in a position to make things happen, you need to make things happen. And we're going to use the story of Esther to illustrate this. So turn your Bibles to Esther chapter 1, verse 10. Esther chapter 1, verse 10. Esther. Since they were all girls graduating, it's good that it's a woman Bible character. Right? It works out really, really well. Esther chapter 1, verse 10. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Muhammad, Bitsa, Harbona, Bigtha, and all these other names, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus, the king, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger was burned in him. So the king wanted to show off his beautiful wife, the queen. And for some reason, Vashti was having a bad day. I don't know, you all can maybe come up with some reasons. She was having a bad day. Maybe she was upset because he didn't do something for her, didn't buy this, or didn't get that jewelry. Who knows, right? You all can guess in a marriage the conflict that may occur, right? Y'all are quiet married couples. All right. So she wasn't a happy camper, and I think it ran a whole lot deeper than just this incident. There was some problems there in their relationship, where she didn't want to be obedient, or she didn't want to follow his orders, or something was going on that was deeper, and this happened. And Vashti refused, and she disrespected the king, her husband. And the king was very, very upset about it. And we know the story. Because of this, Vashti was punished by losing all her royal estate. She was punished. So in comes the rest of the story. If you turn to Esther chapter 3, verse 5. No, chapter 2, verse 17. Let's go there first. Esther chapter 2, verse 17. And the king loved Esther. You know the story. A lot of things happened. And Esther was finally presented in front of the king. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the other virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princesses and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. Through several sequence of events, Esther ends up at the right place at the right time. Through several things that happened, and Mordecai was involved, and things happened. And she was at the right place at the right time. And you can tell the king was excited to marry Esther and to have her as queen. He threw a big party. He threw a big feast. And all was well again in the land. The king now had a queen who listened and didn't embarrass the kingdom like Vashti did. And that's the story. But Esther knows the history. She knows what happened to Vashti. She says it several times later in this book. And while this was going on, if you turn to Esther chapter 3, verse 5, while all of this was going on, and Haman saw that Mordecai wouldn't bow down. So Haman was like number two in command. And Haman walks into the room and he expected everybody to bow down to him. And Mordecai would not bow down, and Mordecai would not give in, because Mordecai only bowed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow down, nor did him any reverence. Then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had shown him the people of Mordecai, who were the Jews. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. I don't know how to pronounce that name. So that king, even the people of Mordecai. So Haman hates the Jews, and he plots to destroy all the Jews and the people because Mordecai did not bow down. So here comes Esther into the story again. In Esther chapter 4, verse 8, let's read there. Esther chapter 4, verse 8. Also, he gave him a copy of the writings and the decree and was given to Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge it to declare it unto her, and charge her that she should go into the king to make supplication unto him and to make a request before him for her people. So Mordecai was trying to update Esther, and this is a very serious situation, Esther. There's a decree that has gone out from Haman, and he's going to wipe out all the Jews. Verse 9. And Hittite came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And again Esther spake unto Hittite and gave him command unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whatsoever, whether a man or a woman shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold a golden scepter, and he may live. But I have not been called to come unto him, the king, these 30 days. So Esther, it was human. She's like, wait. We all know what happened to Vashti. We know she lost everything and she was cast out. And we know about this law that no one can just come into the presence of the inner court or the circle of the king and just come and say something without being invited. Because if that happens and he doesn't raise the scepter saying, I'm going to allow this, that person is killed. Wow. Esther was in a tough, tough position. She knew the history. We just dealt with a rebellious queen. And now this queen's going to come up, not invited, and request something from God. That's a lot of pressure. And Mordecai knows they're about to be wiped out. And Esther's part of the Jewish family. What do you do? And they told Mordecai Esther's words. And so Esther sends a word back to Mordecai. You realize that I could die. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. So Mordecai saying, you know, you may not escape this also because all the Jews will be killed. So you think about it. What are Esther's choices? She could choose to stay in the boat, be comfortable, not tell anybody she's a Jew. They didn't know. Nobody knew. She could have just said, I'm going to just play the comfort game here. I'm standing still. I'm protecting myself. She had that option to live a lie. Don't live a lie. Esther had more character than that. Esther knew she couldn't live her whole life in a lie. And she couldn't do that. And Mordecai knew that. When Mordecai asked this question, he knew that Esther was a person of integrity. And so Mordecai pleads, and then Esther says in verse 14, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, Mordecai says, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou come to the kingdom for such a time as this? We all know that, right? That's quote that. You are here for such a time as this. We all can relate this to our lives because there are no accidents in God's kingdom. You were not born accidentally. You are not in the position that you're in or in the situation that you're in accidentally. You are here for such a time as this. You may not know what it is exactly, but I know this, that if you are serving the Lord and you have surrendered your will to God's will, you will see the hand of God move. And you're just like, I'm not seeing the hand of God move. Then you need to change what you're doing and make things happen. Amen? If you're like, I feel like I'm just going through the motions. I sit in church. Well, that's what's going to happen the rest of your life until you make things happen. This word is truth. And there are so many promises for people who begin to surrender all and die to self and serve God and be directed by Him, filled by His Holy Spirit. For all the people who are seeking that, the Bible promises that eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things He has planned for you. So if you're not seeing the hand of God move and miracles happen and things happening in your life, then you need to stop and make things happen. Do something different. Read your Bible and pray like you've never prayed before. Show up to services you never showed up to before. Do things you never do. Come to the outreach if you've never done anything like that before. And just be present and just be available and just make things happen. Put yourself in positions to make things happen. Esther was informed by Mordecai, maybe you were born for this exact moment, for such a time as this. So Esther responds. Then Esther bade them to return to Mordecai with this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast and for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days nor nights. And I also will do the same, and my maidens will do the same. We'll fast and we'll pray. And so will I go out into the king, which is not according to the law. I will do it. I will go out. And if I perish, I perish. She made a decision. She was not going to stay in the boat of comfort. She made a decision to make things happen. And she did. She made things happen. She could have stayed comfortable. She could have avoided conflict. She could have lived a lie. But she was in a position to make things happen. What lesson learned for us? When you are in a position to make things happen, then make things happen. This is what Esther did. And this is what we should do. God directs our path and He puts us in positions to make things happen. It's beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful Esther story. A woman of God. A woman of character, of integrity. She made something happen. And it was unselfish. She knew she could die. So she comes in, and we know the rest of the story. She comes in, and the king really loves Esther. The king can see that she's got a good heart. And he chose to raise the scepter and save her. Because God's hand was in all of this. And you know the rest of the story. Haman tries to kill him and it all backfires on him. And Haman ends up being the one that's killed. Amen. It all turned around on him. So now I want to pivot. We got the lesson, right? We got to make things happen. You got to go. You got to read your Bible. You got to show up. You got to be present. You got to make things happen one day at a time. But now I want to redirect as it pertains to the outreaches, as it pertains to God's doing something and He's preparing a foundation and He's preparing people to lead things because the pastor can't lead everything. He's preparing us. And when I look back at being, when I think about that concept of being in a position to make things happen, it is amazing how we are in a position in this church to make things happen, to bless people at a colonia, how we are in a position to bless a group that's coming. You know, these groups that come, you know, they're paying a fee to come. They're coming and they're paying their ways and they're traveling a long distance. But God has prepared a way for things to begin to happen. And when God starts doing that, you don't want to just stand still and stay in the boat. You want to make things happen. We want these groups to be blessed when they come down and do missionary type work. And to make things happen, yes, you will have to be a little bit uncomfortable. Like Esther was very uncomfortable. But she stepped out of her comfort zone and made things happen. She had to make a choice. When we begin to make things happen, get a little uncomfortable, people will be helped, will be saved. They'll have hope. They'll see Jesus in your work. Things begin to happen. I want to close with this scripture in James chapter 1, verse 19. In James chapter 1, verse 19. Thought I marked it, but it's not marked, so I got to find it now. James. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Don't get mad. Don't let wrath and vengeance take over your life. Let God take care of it. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. So get out of the filthiness of this world and look at the word of God. Live by the word of God. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. It can't get any clearer than that, right, church? We are not supposed to come and sit and hear and do nothing. We're supposed to be hearers, and then we're supposed to go and make things happen with what we've heard. Amen? Make things happen. When you are in a position to make things happen, make them happen. Right? These college girls are now in a position to make things happen in their life. Study hard. Maybe become doctors or engineers, professionals. But God has put everything in place. Let me tell you a few things that God has put in place. I'm so excited, but I'm impatient. Like, Lord, when? This little church has birthed a food bank that feeds thousands and thousands of people in Donna. To no cost to any one of you. Right? I don't know. Has anybody paid for that? All that going on? No, I haven't. I mean, I give an offering to them, but that's from my free will. We have dorms in the back of our church that are paid in full. Are you getting the picture? We have a community center that's paid in full. And recently, someone came and paid, I think it was over $10,000 to pay off the lot. Paid in full. Do you see God's hand? You see God putting us in a position like Esther to make things happen? I get chills thinking about it. And it's been a long journey that Kathleen and David and Pastor had started 25 plus years ago. And little by little, and it's not going to happen like tomorrow, but something big is being birthed. That we can be a church that feeds the poor, that helps widows, that helps the brokenhearted, that helps unfortunate people who are less fortunate. God has put these things in place because all these things that I just talked about takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to put together if we did it without God. But they're all paid in full. It wasn't my smarts or Pastor smarts. It was his vision to start, Pastor David Green's vision. But it wasn't any that we were high IQs. Don't tell him that, please, Kathleen. It's because when people begin to sacrifice and serve God and serve other people that you begin to see greatness in that situation. Because the Bible says if you want to be great in my kingdom, humble yourself and serve and minister to people. Now groups are coming down, paying their own way, paid in full, to help us help others. That's an amazing miracle I just put together there of everything that's just taken care of by God. I'm saying this so you can catch the bigger vision in the church. But all of this I'm telling you applies to your individual life. When you begin to serve Him and die to self and begin to read and pray and begin to make things happen in your spirit life, what I just described to you, the paid in full, begins to happen in your life. Do you see the vision? Do you see the goal? Do you see what God is doing? Do you see how much God has done to put us in this position? Just like God moved circumstances for Esther in her life so she could be in a position for the king to fall in love with her and that she could ultimately save the Jewish people. Just as God did all of that, He's doing the same thing for us as a church, and He's doing the same thing for you. God is doing His part. Now what we need is laborers to just be available to make things happen. We want these groups to come down and feel welcomed and feel loved and feel appreciated and have good food. Because we want them to keep coming to help us execute the vision of these colonias and this ministry. When we combine our servant hearts with their servant hearts, I believe God does supernatural things. It's what God does. It's who He is. God changes lives. It's time to make things happen. If you are in a position to make things happen, make them happen. If you're in a position to help, we have one group coming down next week on Thursday. We have more groups coming down, two more after that. If you are in a position to help and to make things happen, and the help can be as simple as you just show up and you don't even have to do anything, that's okay. But sometimes, but being present is part of being part of the kingdom plan. So I want all of us to close today. There's two aspects to this sermon. One is as a church, God is obviously putting things in place to make things happen. But the second part of this is you as an individual, as a man, a child of God, a woman of God. God is putting things together. If you listen, if you do your part, If you make things happen, if you just are available, He's going to begin to do things, to do amazing things, to use you for His kingdom. So I'm going to ask, and by standing, that's how we're going to close. I'm going to ask you to stand and count of three. But what you're saying when you stand is this, and these are important things for you to, in your mind, settle. Like, am I going to do this? And by standing, you just kind of seal it in your own heart and mind. But by standing, you're saying this: I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to begin to do things differently. I'm going to begin to make things happen. Whether it's your personal journey, whether it's to sign up for one of these activities that we're going to be having, we need a lot of help. But and whatever it may be, you're standing up saying, I'm going to begin to make it happen. I'm going to begin to change the way I do things. I'm going to begin to put myself in a position to make things happen and see what God's doing in my life. You're going to see it differently. So on the count of three, so I'll bow our heads, close our eyes. If that's you and you're determined, I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to serve. I'm going to bless people. I'm going to use whatever time I have to help. I'm going to pray and read my Bible like never before because it's time for God to move in my life. I need to make it happen. God will not let us down, church. These examples of paid in full, things that are paid in full, are just proof. He will not let us down. He will put us in a position to make things happen. We got to act. So if you've determined that in your heart, whether you're going to college, whether you're still in high school, or you've already in your career and your job, and, or you're struggling and you're battling, doesn't matter what position we're in. What matters is our attitude and our heart to make it happen. So on the count of three, if that's you, you're just going to do things differently, stand up and let's just sing together. 1, 2, 3.